Do you have repair projects that you've been putting off, whether it's basement waterproofing, concrete raising, structural repairs, or attic insulation? PermaSeal provides quality work and free inspections. Don't wait. Call PermaSeal 800-421-7325 or permaseal.net.
There's an app for that. There's an app for this. You've heard it, but just because it exists doesn't mean you need to use it. With us to make sense of all of that, digital and social media strategy expert Scott Kleinberg. Good morning, Scott. Lots of choices out there, and it is overwhelming. So the question is, how do we know what we need and what we don't?
Good morning, Bob. Yeah. You know, that's $1 million question, I guess, figuratively and literally. I mean, you could fill your phone or tablet or computer with so many apps that you'll be lost in a sea of icons. So what I do is I ask myself the same question every time before I go to download anything. I ask, is there a free version that meets most of my needs? Because many apps have a basic no-cost option, and for a lot of tasks, removing duplicate photos or organizing your emails, the free version is going to work just fine.
Let's talk about some examples. What about the duplicate photo apps? There are a lot of those, and my phone says it can't. It can do it for free, so why would I buy one?
Yeah, good question. This is where smart shopping comes in. Both iPhones and Android devices now have some sort of built-in feature that helps you spot and remove duplicate photos. Now, the paid apps sometimes offer extra features like scanning for blurry photos or helping you organize into albums super quickly by date. And you'd pay if you want a little bit more automation or dedicated support. But if the built-in tools seem like enough to you, you should stick with those.
It seems easy. But then you see apps that offer what they call pro features for organizing music, things like that. What's worth paying for?
Yeah, it's a good question, too. The music world has changed a lot over the years. You know, now most people use Apple Music, they use Spotify, they use Amazon Music, and all of which do a lot of organizing already for you. But if you have a bunch of music, let's say files you bought years ago, maybe you imported them from CDs, and you want something more, like fixing mislabeled songs or finding album artwork, you might find value in an app that charges 10 or 20 bucks. But just for listening or for basic playlist, you're going to be covered by what comes with your device.
Yep. And everybody likes different things. Everybody has different taste. And folks like to have as much control over music as possible, don't they?
Yeah, that's really true. I mean, I'm old enough to remember, Bob, when we purchased each song and we protected those files in whatever way we needed to. And then came streaming. And now we don't really own our music. We never really did, but now we really don't. And there are people who have imported files from CDs, like we're saying. And if you have that kind of collection, additional apps could provide a boost for your organization.
With digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg, and let's talk about subscriptions, Scott. We all have those monthly charges that build up kind of out of nowhere, and people often talk about package tracking apps, for example. Are those a good idea?
Well, it depends. Most shopping sites and carriers, whether you use Amazon or UPS or FedEx, they let you track for free. But a subscription might make sense. Let's say if you get dozens of deliveries every week and you want all your updates in one place, in one list across many accounts. But for most folks, using a store's website or email notifications is going to be perfect.
You mentioned organization when we were talking about music. This sounds the same. You might need the help of an app to be a little more organized, right?
Yeah, maybe. That's a good way to look at it. And I think it definitely depends on the item. So for packages, let's say I'm expecting 15 packages in a span of a few weeks, and I can get all of those listed and color-coded and alert me one by one to their statuses. That, to me, right off the bat, sounds intriguing and helpful. But if I have a delivery or two coming, I'm not quite sure why you'd want to go much beyond the basics.
Sure. And what about email and messaging? Are people paying for advanced apps there?
That definitely depends. And, you know, I do not. I never have. Gmail, Outlook, Apple Mail all have powerful free versions. Some apps offer features, including scheduling emails, although Gmail lets you do that for free, so does Apple Mail, or blocking spam more aggressively. But the basics, you know, they really have you covered there, too. So I would say it this way for mail. If you're comfortable with your current app, I really don't think you need to pay for anything additional.
So when should you spend?
So here's how I decide. Always free tools first. Check if your phone or computer already does the job. Think about features versus hassle. Is the paid app that you're looking into buying saving you real time or effort? If you're struggling or frustrated with what you're using as the base, it might be worth it. Privacy and ads. Free usually means there's going to be some sort of ad support, or your data might be used for marketing. Paid versions often, not always, but often remove ads and keep your info private. And support. If you need phone or chat support, you're more likely going to find that on a paid app than you would on a free app.
You know what? I use this password manager, 1Password, and I went there yesterday, and it gave me a message saying that you can update, and they're going to charge now. So does that mean the free one is going to disappear? What do you think?
Most apps don't get rid of the free totally. I can't say that 100%, but most apps don't get rid of the free totally because they know that there are people who are not going to pay. So I would say an app that big, there's probably a chance there will always be a free version. But remember, it's easier and easier to put more features behind a paywall and make you pay for them than it is otherwise.
So are there any apps you always think you should pay for?
Well, I pay for a few weather apps. I have one that focuses on radar and one that is just excellent for severe weather alerts. Both are available in free apps, but I find the apps that I subscribe to, they are easy to use. They fit my needs. I also pay for a few fitness apps that help organize my data. I think that's a great way to look at it. Certain apps present certain bits of data differently, and that presentation alone might be enough for you to buy into it because it might just make your life easier.
Yeah, but you'd never pay just to like send a text, right?
Right. Phones let you send messages for free, but I've seen dedicated texting apps, and truthfully, I'm not sure why you'd want to use one of those.
So when you decide that you do want to spend extra on an app, what should you think about?
I would say try the free version first. If those features in the free version don't meet your needs, then you can consider the paid upgrade. Check the reviews of the app. Some apps overpromise, so you want to make sure that you're not buying into something that's not going to help you. Never pay for something that seems suspicious or asks for too much info, because if you're using it or reading about it and you're scratching your head, you want to steer clear of those. And remember, subscriptions add up. Be mindful, because lots of little charges can become a big expense each year.
Yeah, it's just like your streaming channels. Are there apps that alert you to your billing and try to help you maybe save money?
There are, and that is because those subscriptions, yeah, streaming especially, do add up. And doesn't that close the loop as far as there being an app for everything?
So what's the takeaway here? What do we need to remember, Scott?
I would say to remember that convenience and peace of mind are valuable, but most digital tasks don't need fancy apps or subscriptions. And with that said, many companies are going to try to entice you. So always see what you can do first for free, then pay if you think it's really going to help you live your life better.
Finally, our Genius Bar question for you. This came in after we talked last week about backing things up. Is there a difference in security between flash drives and external drives?
They're all commonly used to talk about the same device. USB drives and flash drives are considered smaller drives, and external drives are considered the bigger drives that sit on your desk. It depends on the brand, and it depends on the software that comes with the actual drive. So you have less of a chance of getting really compelling software on a cheap flash drive that you'd put on your keychain, but an external drive that sits on your desk that costs $100, that may have more security. It really depends on how you're going to use it and how much portability you need in terms of which one to buy.
Scott Kleinberg. We'll talk again next week at this time. Thank you, Scott.
Thank you, Bob. Take care.